In these past weeks leading up to the beginning of Advent, we have been taking the Apostles' Creed line by line. The Apostles' Creed, which is part of our, quote, received tradition to explore the foundations of faith in some of the church's earliest history. Last week, we reflected on Jesus' descent into hell. This week, we turn to the glorious promise of resurrection. Really, that's what we will explore. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, pour forth your Spirit upon each one of us, that as we come to this place, we may hear your word alone, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts may be acceptable in your sight, our Lord and our Redeemer. Amen. Jesus rose from the dead on the third day and appeared to his disciples. That is the Bible witness. No questions, no disagreement, case closed. Time to just sit down and think on it, right? But let's be honest. To really wrap our heads around Jesus rising from the dead is quite a feat for us in the 21st century, isn't it? In this scientifically minded age in which we live, we continually try to think about, really? Could that really happen? That's my daughter's favorite expression. Mom, really? Really? Mark, the earliest version of our gospel, is very brief, just 8 lines about the resurrection. There you will see him, just as he told you. If we remember back to the story of Jesus' death, we remember that following his death, those disciples were terrified. For though Jesus predicts it in his lifetime, in his ministry with them, they didn't imagine it could possibly be true. They were too centered in that moment, in the grief of losing Jesus to death, that they forgot what he told them. Jesus predicted his resurrection, and the biblical tradition is united that he did rise, and that he did appear to his disciples in such a way as to empower them forth into ministry. Resurrection is assumed by the biblical witness. The accounts of the early church in Acts report that with great power the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. This has been a great sermon series for allowing ourselves to go back and rediscover or revisit the portions of Scripture which speak to these lines of the Creed. What does Scripture really say about this? When we do this, we find that most of the references to resurrection do not refer at all to Jesus rising, but are wrestling with the question, what happens to us after we die? That's a different question than the one we're looking at in this line. On the third day, he, meaning Jesus, rose from the dead. That sermon, What Happens to Us When We Die, is for another day, November 20th, in fact, with Pastor Dave preaching. The very last line of the Apostles' Creed, which is also affirmed, the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. So stay tuned, I'm not going to steal his thunder. But we are here today to examine this bold assertion of Scripture that, of course, Jesus rose from the dead. No question about it. I cannot stand before you today and present any scientific evidence that will convince you, because there is none. We stand in a received tradition of the united witness of those who came to believe the truth of what Jesus had told them, that he would rise again. And he did. In and through them, as they grasped the power of forgiveness and lived in lives of ministry and love just as he had commanded. He was alive again and again, in and through his disciples and the message they brought to the world. However, this isn't a new question if you read the scriptures carefully, and we do deduce a little bit about how this tradition came to be so united. The Sadducees, or chief priests as we know them, were concerned that Jesus' followers would try to pull a fast one and remove his body to make true this claim of resurrection. So concerns about this missing body of Jesus are really not anything new. But when you research this word of resurrection in the Bible, you discover that the arguments about all this were a major source of division between the Pharisees and the Sadducees and Jesus' followers, and a major source of the disagreement with Jesus for the chief priests. The Sadducees didn't believe that there could be any kind of bodily resurrection, even for this Jesus, who was the Son of God. Matthew reports that when Jesus was crucified, they heavily guarded the tomb to make sure that his followers didn't steal the body and claim resurrection had taken place. Matthew 28, verses 11 through 15. What is clear, however, from the biblical story is that when Jesus started to appear to the disciples, after that death, after his followers went to the empty tomb, those disciples were energized. They were reconnected to what they were called to be doing, to show forth his love and justice, reaching into the world, sharing good news. Remember how those disciples were right after Jesus' death, scattered and scared, hiding in the upper room, pondering what to do next, tempted to go back to what they were doing before they even met Jesus. It's mysterious. It's a leap of faith to embrace that Jesus could actually have been raised. And they needed to see it to believe it. So Jesus appeared to them, and they recognized him, we read. Is that hard for us to believe? It's really not so hard to believe, I don't think, because probably most of us have known someone or have heard stories of folks who have suffered loss and have been somehow mysteriously, that person has returned to them, has returned and given them some kind of peace about some peace that was missing, some kind of assurance that the world is different for them now. If we haven't had it happen in our own experience, we may have heard about it and read about such experiences. And if you know people who have experienced that thing, you know that in many times that has brought a sense of peace, energy, and an ability to move forward in life. So what does it matter? I think that the big message of the resurrection for us is that the energy and power in the hope of resurrection provides matters. Barclay concludes in his commentary on Matthew that in the end, the truth about Jesus could not be overcome, that the gospel of goodness is greater than the plots of wickedness, and that message of resurrection comes out again and again. The message of Jesus Christ that new life and transformation is possible. That with God, all things are possible, no matter what the hells are in this earth. Many years ago now, I was struck at a conference that I attended where a professor of religion and culture, Marcus Borg, was speaking. Borg challenged us to see if our practice of Christianity would change if we found out tomorrow that the resurrection didn't happen. It was pretty controversial stuff 15 to 20 years ago. To my great surprise, as we gathered for lunch afterwards, almost to a person, and most of us were pastors, almost to a person, every pastor professed that they would no longer be a Christian if the resurrection didn't physically happen. Really? You can look at that in two ways. First of all, I think that it goes very far to show us and tell us the power that resurrection has in dealing with us and in our passions to be Christian. But really also, does faith and its practice really come down to whether or not the facts are accurate, or whether we find truth in the account of faith as we have received it from those who have gone before us? Does it really come down to whether or not we are raised, whether we are raised as Jesus was, that the promise of eternal life in the life beyond this is all that ultimately matters? Our God is constantly a God of surprises, of amazing possibility beyond our imagining. Whatever hell we are in the midst of does not mean that it is the end of the story. And that's what the most recent affirmation of faith of the Presbyterian Church professes. In life and in death, we belong to God. That whatever hell we may experience, there is hope for new life. Even if not in this world, then in the world to come. And it is Jesus' resurrection that guarantees it. In his summary from last week's sermon in The Publicist, Pastor Dave wrote, "But it isn't just those spirits trapped in prison from long ago to whom Jesus comes. It is also to us. We also find ourselves, our spirits, trapped in prisons of all kinds of different sorts, locked up or locked down, separated from the life that God would have for us, this message of resurrection. Can we see that around us? And can we see the power of resurrection in our midst, even in difficult times? I don't want to name any names, but signs of the resurrection are all around us in this place. They are in our communities as living witnesses to resurrection out of impossible circumstances. Ask anyone who is walking daily in resurrected life after a life of addiction. The new possibilities and new spirit of their lives, even when forces of evil daily threaten to pull them down. Ask someone who has had a remission from cancer and a new perspective changing their lives out of that. Ask the one whose child has died a horrific and public death, and yet out of that deep pain has found ways to move forward in life and bring joy and hope to others, to go with others to places of deep pain so that they are not alone. As I told Elder Judy Babcock before the service, ask anyone who was part of this congregation 10 to 12 years ago if they believe in resurrection and see what they answer. Ask those who work to right justice out of injustice and find hope even in the midst of very difficult times. It was profoundly deep and spiritual moment many years ago to be with Andrew at a South African Ladysmith Black Mambazo concert in Washington, D.C., the night that Nelson Mandela was released from prison in South Africa. My friends, you have resurrection all around you, or many of you are in the midst of looking for it. Will you recognize it when it comes? Celebrate and give thanks, or if not yet realized, make a decision to live into that hope. There's a community of faith here which surrounds you to walk with you. The deep hope that we see in these circumstances is and has to be the work of God and not of our human hands and feet. The work of God in bringing life out of death, hope from despair, grace out of discouragement, all rooted in this message of Christ's resurrection. Look to the texts of all the disciples and all that they were able to accomplish when they moved from that place of the cross to live the message. The witness is dramatic. As they remembered his prediction that on the third day he would rise, as the tomb was empty and the stone rolled away. And then let us go forth to live into that hope. Amen.